La 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 la. Leonie Dawson refuses to be categorized. The podcast. Wow, I actually quite like that one. Maybe I should get that one professionally recorded to turn into our intro. Nah, fuck it. My queens, hello, hello. How are you all? What's new with you? It's going to be a super short episode because I am just driving to the grocery store, which is only 4 minutes from my house. I think I'm going to get myself a smoothie. I'm going to check the mailbox. I might treat myself and have a little hot chocolate while I sit down and do some journaling because why not? Why not? My kids are on school holidays and I fucking love it. I genuinely do. I just love having no routine. I love that I don't have to drive anywhere. We can just go completely with how we're feeling each day. And I want to, like, you know, acknowledge the fact that enormously privileged to be able to say that. My kids are older. Like, I did not used to love school holidays as much as I do now. My kids are 9 and 13 now, and they're just easy peasy. In so many ways. So I feel really grateful for that. We decided this, we've been getting into like going on holidays, like every single school holidays. Like we would go just away for three nights or whatever to an Airbnb or just do something different. But this time the energy was just different. And we decided, you know what, we won't book anything. We'll just see what happens when we're at home. And I was kind of feeling a bit annoyed about doing that. Like, I knew it was the right decision, but I also was like, oh, I just really enjoy going away, even if it's just for a really short period of time. Am I going to get bored not going away? But it's just been lovely. I think my kids sort of just need the home time, and it's been lovely, like, watching them sort of get back into themselves and, you know, into right relationship with each other as well, and you know, just spending time doing just being and playing and having fun and resting and all that stuff. So that's been lovely, and just playing lots of board games and card games, really. Last night, I took the kids and we went over to a friend's place, and we played games with some of my friends, and it was really beautiful and lovely and fun. We're all super tired today because we were just yelling and laughing so much during the games. I get really competitive, and all my friends get really competitive during card games. Well, actually, no, there's one friend who is the sweetest person on earth who doesn't get competitive at all, and she's the one who managed to win all of the games last night, which is just hilarious and such a beautiful evidence that grace and generosity and humor actually can reap great rewards. Who would have fucking thought it, right? Who would have thought it? And that friend is Amanda Rootsy. She's got a beautiful book out for kids as well. And my kids only just met her last night, and they were just raving about her the whole way home. They're like, Mom, Mandy is the nicest person we've ever met in our lives. And I'm like, I know, babes, I know. And like, she's just so sweet and kind and peaceful, and we love her. Like, I know, babes, I know. So she's got a book out, Shine From Within, with Hay House, and it's like building confidence with teens and stuff like that. And she's just a wonderful human. She really is. And she teaches other people how to be mentors to youth. And she's so perfect for what she does. Anyway, that was hilarious fun. We're also kind of treating these holidays as like a mid-year reset. Just like doing those jobs around the house that kind of need to be done. We've been helping the girls, you know, just tidy and reorganize their rooms and redecorate and things like that, One thing that's changing my freaking life is I have been putting off doing my washing, and it just turned into this just enormous pile, and so much so I don't think I washed in probably 6 weeks at least. I was just I'd gone through my whole cupboard, I'd like reworn clothes, and I was starting to get to the end of my underwear drawer, and I was like, oh dear heavens, I guess I'm gonna have to do some washing. And my husband's like, that is gonna take you absolutely days to do that, and you hate doing it. Can you just like get a laundry service or something? And I was like, what an idea. And so I found this website called thelaundrylady.com.au. This is fucking not a sponsored post. You know I don't have my shit together enough to do that kind of organization. Anyway, I could just book online for them to like come pick up my laundry, and then they delivered it back like 2 days later. And it was so freaking clean and folded. And I was like, what in the hell? How come some people are just really good at being an adult, and I, with ADHD, am not? And my husband was like, wow, those clothes look so clean and nice. Like, what are we doing with our lives? Like, why do we not, how does our washing not turn out like that? Like, I don't know. So I think we're just going to do it out regularly now. And we're even like getting all the kids' clothes refreshed, and like especially the uniforms and stuff. Their school uniforms need to be like, they're kind of discolored now and stuff. So we're gonna just send it away, and it's just amazing that like for laundry now we can just put it in a bag, and a lovely lady who doesn't have ADHD comes and picks it up, and she gets to do her thing at home and then drop it back to us, and we're like, wow. So this is definitely like the potential to be one of my favorite things of this year, I think. Oh, speaking of favorite things of this year, I just read After the Storm by Sally Jane Unsworth. Holy shit, it was a good book. It's a short book. I read it in one bathtub sitting. I mean, I was in the bathtub for hours, but in one bathtub sitting, and it is kind of like a memoir of a British writer who has her first baby and goes through postnatal depression and anxiety. And as a person who experienced that, especially with my first kid, holy shit, it was such a relief to read her words. I can't think of another book that so clearly tells the truth of that experience. And I really wish that I'd had that book 13 odd years ago when I was going through that experience. Just to feel like I wasn't alone in it, you know, and to feel like there wasn't anything wrong with me. It was just the fact that I was going through something really fucking hard. And it was a completely natural reaction to the circumstances that I was under, with a baby that did not sleep and, you know, cried constantly. And I had no boundaries in terms of how I was going to look after myself, because I was like signed up to this ideology that, you know, a mother just keeps on sacrificing herself no matter what. And that, you know, and that it should all be happy. That was definitely like the lie that I had in my brain. And I think it's like done by Huggies ads. And then also like, you know, my own family's story about it. You know, I had a mum who didn't really believe in postnatal depression. She thought it was very sad because she thought people were just misguided. And because every single moment for children is pure joy. And so, you know, as a first time mum going through it and absolutely not feeling pure joy at every moment, I felt like such a fucking failure. I felt like there was something just so profoundly wrong with me. And if I just tried harder, then I would be a worthy mother, you know? And it was heartbreaking. It really was. And I think in the book, After the Storm, Emma Jane Unsworth talks about the effect it has on her partner and their relationship as well. And just the fury that she had in her, like, oh, fuck this nonsense. Like, I can't believe that I have to go through this and he doesn't. Like, he doesn't have the agony of childbirth and feeling like your body is not your own and breastfeeding and being the one body in the world that keeps another person, you know, another body okay. And I remember feeling that fury so much. Like, I would just, you know, say to my husband so many times, like, next time you're going to be the woman in this relationship, you're going to be the one that births the babies. Like, I will be the dad. You know, next lifetime, we're coming back and I'm going to be the dad. You can be the woman because this is a fucked up job. And it took, you know, a lot for us to repair our relationship and for me to heal from the trauma of the birth and the trauma, like, and the, you know, just the trauma of everything, really. And I thought that there was something wrong with me for that. And, you know, it's been 13 years and I've really, like, learned a lot and healed a lot and had therapy and all that kind of stuff. But reading that book really brought it back for me, you know, just, and it really helped me feel even more okay with the experience that I had. Yeah, it's big stuff, my friends. I'm feeling really teary talking about it. Just because I remember how much pain I was in. And I think, like, it was helpful as well. Emma is, you know, a writer and obviously, like, highly intelligent, has a beautiful partner and all that kind of stuff. And still shit went so wrong with it all, you know, and she really struggled with not having any time to herself and any time to working and to her craft. And I feel that. I feel that deep in my soul. And, you know, she talks about how she's, at heart a high achiever. And I think people who are high achievers do tend to, well, I don't know, maybe they can struggle more during pregnancy and childbirth and raising kids because there's no fucking way to get an A on that report card, you know? Like, it's all, it's really a case of just doing the fucking best you can and, like, being a solid C. Getting a solid C, you know, like, you just can't, and you do have to, like, work out how to put your oxygen mask on. And it's interesting, you know, for me, when I had my second baby, my experience was so different. I didn't have that because I already very clearly knew what was needed for me to be able to bring another child into the earth, into the world. You know, I was very resistant to having a second because I had had such a challenging time the first time round. Plus, I had hyperemesis gravidarum, which absolutely makes you completely terrified of getting pregnant again. And so, you know, I told my husband for many years I didn't want to have another baby. And then when Beth came to visit me in a dream, I talked to him about it, and I also wrote down a list of how I was going to do things differently. And how I was going to do things differently was I would give myself as much, like, prenatal care as I could. I would get medication for hyperemesis gravidarum. I would, you know, get as much treatment as I could. I wouldn't be afraid of doctors like I was in my first pregnancy. I wouldn't be afraid of the hospital. I also did not give one single shit about whether I had a natural birth or not. I made the agreement with myself that if I wanted to have a cesarean, I would have a cesarean. If I wanted to use pain medication during birth, I would, because that's things I didn't do first time around. And then in breastfeeding, I was like, I may breastfeed if it's easier for me. And if it's not, I will absolutely not do that. And I will go to back to work within 4 weeks of having the baby. And by back to work, I mean, 2 hours a day away from the baby, where I can go into my office, close the door, not parent, and just write and do my business. Because by that point, I'd recognize that me going back to work is actually a really big part of my mental health plan. And it's a really important part of my identity to still have time to create and write and draw and share and teach in the world. I wrote up the list and I presented it to Chris, and I was like, this is what it would take for me to have a second baby. And he was like, we can do all of that. Like, I don't give a shit about whether you breastfeed or not, or we co-sleep or not, or you try and do the perfect hippie parenting or not. I really don't give a shit. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was so nice. I didn't need his permission. It was really just making a commitment to myself, because I was the one who was the hardest on myself during that whole experience, I said this was going to be a short podcast. It's not, because obviously this is something that needs to be talked about. Bless us one and all. So that's what the commitments that I made to myself before I even decided to get pregnant with number two. I was like, I am not going to just devastate myself again. And it's interesting because, some of the commitments that I'd made of giving myself the freedom to choose, I still chose similar things again in terms of, first and foremost, having my second daughter, I had hyperemesis gravidarum again, and it was even worse. It was devastating. But I gave myself as much care as I could. I was, going to the acupuncturist. I was getting hypnosis. I was going to the doctor. I was on medication. I'd go to the emergency regularly. I went, I had hospital stays, all the support I could in order to be okay and survive. And the first time around, I was so scared of even going to the doctor and even knowing that I had, I didn't even get the diagnosis of hyperemesis gravidarum. I just knew I was just awful, awfully ill. I remember going back to the doctor and she was like, oh, you look different. And I was like, yeah, I've lost 5 kilos from the first month of vomiting. And she was like, that's not supposed to happen. You needed to have come and seen me and get medication for that. But, I was so resistant to any kind of, Western medication at that point. And the second time around, I was like, fuck, just give me anything. Please. I do not have to suffer so profoundly in this. I don't have to go without. And then it's interesting, so with the birth, I decided, one, my baby was breech, and I was also so ill, and I just decided, I think I might go for a cesarean. And my midwife was like, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. And here's the information I need you to know. And, we can just book it in. And so I went and I did the research about, the recovery from cesarean and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, fuck it. I'll just do vag birth again, because it'll probably be easier for me to recover in my body and my setup from doing a vag birth. But I'll take all the fucking pain meds. And then when it was in the, when I came to giving birth, my midwife knew straight up, I wanted medication, but my birth was so quick. We didn't have enough time. Fuck. I didn't even get any medication the second time, but at least I gave myself that option, and I feel really proud of myself for giving myself that option. Leonie, you are allowed to take pain medication during birth. You do not have to get an A+ birth experience, you do not have to sacrifice yourself on the fucking birthstone, bless me. And then when it came to breastfeeding, it was just I might mix feed. And so or I might just not breastfeed at all. And so we mixed fed for a really long patch of time. And then when I wanted to give up, I gave up. And so, and I ended up lasting a lot longer than I expected to, just because the baby could have bottles as well. And it was so much less, I was giving myself options so that I didn't feel so fucked up and hemmed in by it all. And that felt really good. And then co-sleeping, you know, first time around, I was so militant. I will be co-sleeping. That is the only one right way. And it didn't work first time around because I had a baby who was a super light sleeper. And I also need time to myself when I'm sleeping as an autistic person. I didn't even know I was autistic back then, you know. If I'd known I was autistic, it would have been such a different experience, because I would have been like, oh, this is what I need in order to be okay. This is what my body needs. This is what my neurotype needs. And I'm not a fucking failure as a mother for that. And even with the whole co-sleeping thing, I got her a bassinet. I got her one of those fucking things that rocked. Like, I don't know, sling things. No, they're just like a machine that rocks them. It's amazing. And she just goes straight to sleep in it. It was amazing. And so I would be like, oh yeah, we can just let her use all of the things that she wants. And then I'd discover, like, it was easier for me, like, halfway through the night when she'd wake up, I would pick her up and bring her into bed with me, and then we'd sleep for the rest of the night. And it was happy and cozy, and it was the right thing for me. And therefore for her as well, you know. I think that's a thing. Like, we forget that, like, babies, they're actually like, it's an ecosystem. There's like these two humans that are symbiotically attached, and you have to look after the mother just as much, if not more, than the baby, because if the mother runs out of steam, then we're all in all sorts of pain. Dr. Carrie Conti, who is the prenatal psychologist, studies like the brains of babies in the womb and in early days. She talks about how women are like the hubs of the family, the energy hub of the family. And then all of the people, like all of, you know, your kids and husband, they're all spokes that comes off it. So if mom is wonky, then it tends to make the rest of the wheel wonky, you know? So whatever we can do to solidify ourselves is really hugely important. And you know, another thing I knew with having my second was that I need medication for my mental health. Just like, you know, I come from a lineage of people who have very strong bodies, you know, we can live up to, you know, 90, 100, strong bodies, but Jesus Christ, mental health issues out the fucking wazoo. And so just like as if I'm born into a family with, you know, diabetes or some pre-existing condition that needs medication for it, my family needs medication. We fucking need medication. And so the whole way through, I knew, like, I am going to have medication when I'm pregnant. I'm going to have medication while I'm breastfeeding. And if at the nearest, like at the earliest sign that it is not working for me, I'm going back to the doctor and working out what I need in order to be okay. And, you know, there's medication that is completely safe for pregnancy and breastfeeding. And if not, like, even better, because you're not just like working off a complete, like, you're not just like pumping adrenaline, you know, with anxiety. So yeah, medication was massive for me. And then making sure, you know, I had therapy and support and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's what this talk turned into. I'm just sitting in the car park and have been now for a long time. But the book really touched me and really brought up that part of my journey. And I just wanted to offer it up in case you're suffering or you have suffered and you in any way thought less of yourself for it, or you felt less, like, felt alone or weren't able to get yourself the support that you need. I just want you to know I'm here. I absolutely understand. I love you. I stand with this absolute enormous army of mamas who have been there and say, we hear you, we understand, we absolutely love you, we get it. This is a completely normal reaction to these circumstances, and I promise you things can get better. I promise you. And get yourself whatever support you need. And there is zero fucking shame in it. Fucking less than zero shame. You know what should be ashamed? The fact that motherhood is so hard in a capitalist system, in a non-village system. That's what we should be mad about. That's what we should be mad about. That's who should be ashamed here. Capitalism, fuck 'em. And the patriarchy, fuck 'em. We don't have to have shame for not thriving in those conditions, because it wasn't set up for us to thrive, you know? And so we have to create the conditions for us to thrive. Right. I'm going to go on my errands now. I love you all very, very much. Oh, I should say this while I remember. I am going to be speaking at the Oz Mumpreneur Conference in Sydney in August. I can't believe I'm actually going to be leaving my house and getting on a plane. Wow, watch me go. I've been to Oz Mumpreneur Conference before. It is fucking fantastic. That and Heart Centered Business Conference run by Tash Corbin is basically the only two conferences that I feel happy going to and happily and heartily recommend at this point. So, if you want to see me speak, and some other amazing people, including Tiff Hall and the founder of Proud Poppy, and Monica Meldrum from Whole Kids is going to be speaking there, and a whole bunch of other amazing women, Australian mums in business. And it's run by Peace and Katie, who are two sisters. I've known them for years. They are just the most lovely, lovely humans. So absolutely well worth going to the conference if you're in Sydney or if you feel like going on an adventure. Okay. Bless us one and all. I'm going to go now. Oh my God, nearly 30 minutes. Wow. I'm so proud of us. Okay. Love you. Bye.